Hey, welcome back to That's Not Proper, and I'm your host, Corey Ascension. The past 3 months have been mayhem. Nationwide, worldwide, it has been crazy. I mean, I know there's better words that sound a lot more descriptive, but it's a little dumbfounding. You know, nobody expected everything that was going to be going on. It, you know, these were things that we did not prepare for. We could not prepare for some of these things. The past 2 weeks, ever since the murder of George Floyd, has been exponentially more traumatic, again, crazy. I battled with how I was going to proceed with the podcast right now in light of how everything is going. Everything that I had on deck and on board and recorded, or my future recordings, felt like they were of great value, but not of great value right now in this moment. And so those recordings will come, and the future interviews are still continuing. But I wanted to take this week at least to reflect a little bit. Last week, I participated alongside many other podcasters in Podcast Blackout. And I have taken that time. I've taken a lot of time, but I've taken that time very specifically to consider, to educate myself, to seek to amplify voices of those who for, you know, I don't even know how long, 400 plus years have not been heard. And what I have been really concerned about is, what does the future hold? It seems over the course of history, we've come across these times where the rights of marginalized groups, and specifically with reference to Black people, there is an uprising, and you have a great number within the nation and even across the world who are shouting support and shouting for change, and then it dwindles away, and then people go about their lives, especially white people. I think there are times where we see these struggles because, you know, they're in the news or social media, or maybe someone shares them with us, and we hear it and we may feel it, but then we go home and go about things as if we'd never heard or felt those things, because a lot of these things don't always pertain to our thoughts and our minds and our deeds and how we carry out our everyday lives, because we have this privilege, our skin color. What's important, I think, to first realize is that despite this cycle of believing that it may not pertain to us, or at least carrying out our lives as though we aren't part of it or it doesn't apply, I think it's really important to first and foremost realize it absolutely does apply, because we are one people, whether anybody wants to believe it or not, whether we've treated marginalized groups and Black people as though they are the same or not, it doesn't change the fact that we are a human race, and that every person on this planet is my brother or my sister, and that we are ultimately, whether we like to admit it or not, we are connected deeply. And so when there is a fight for the rights of another human, regardless of what they look like or what they believe or what their lifestyle is, it is also my fight, because there isn't really freedom if we don't all equally possess and have the rights to those same freedoms. I hear a lot of people, they're white, want to keep bringing up All Lives Matter. And, you know, this is, I'm almost sick and tired of saying this, or sick and tired of having to type it out or whatever. But how ignorant could you possibly be in the midst of someone saying Black Lives Matter, attempt to overshadow it by saying All Lives Matter? Here's the thing, is my life isn't under threat right now. My rights are not under threat. My freedom is not under threat. That is what Black people face every day, is the threat of what's going to happen today. I don't apologize for my skin color. Nobody should apologize for their skin color. I can't change my skin color. But what I can apologize for is my part in not recognizing the privilege that this nation has from its inception given to people who have skin color like mine. So what I can apologize for is my part in that, the ignorance from that, the lack of interest, the lack of concern, the lack of awareness, the sticking to my traditions and norms and habits and thoughts, because I wasn't pausing for a moment to consider that just because I have this, does everyone have this? It may not be in what you believe to be as action or word, but it's there. A lot of it, I notice for myself, has to do with mindset. It has to do with perpetuating traditions and norms that maybe I don't even become aware of. It's just become, you know, automation in a sense. And so for this past several weeks, what I have recognized that I need to do is become absolutely aware, deeply consider everything that I do and what I say. Because if I'm doing things in a robotic motion, in a sense that this is what I always do, and so this is my scheduling, and this is, you know, if I'm doing everything in my life in that way without thought, without question, without wondering, at what points throughout my day and throughout my life and throughout my thoughts and my words and my actions over the course of my time here have I not considered that there's great privilege because of my skin color? And so even in going forward with this recording today, you know, I'm greatly considering my words, and I may screw up, and I have to be able to hear, hey, Corey, you screwed up. What you said was offensive. What you said was racist. What you said was not okay, whatever. And I'm okay with that. Is it uncomfortable? Oh, fuck yeah. The idea that I, in my life, in the past, present, or, you know, going forward, could be doing, saying, or thinking things that I don't recognize is a privilege, or that I do not recognize is hurting or harming someone, whether it be now or in the future, terrifies me. So I'm just going to share today some things that I have been confronted with, whether it be, you know, something someone said online or something someone said to me personally. There's a lot of terms that we're hearing right now. And, you know, I think a lot of them we've heard over the course of our lives, but maybe we didn't really know what they meant. Which I'm finding there's a whole lot of people, especially in social media, man, they don't know what the hell they're even talking about. And so I felt for myself, it was really important to investigate and educate myself to find out what all these terms meant and how they apply to myself and what I can do, at least here from home, Whether it be with how I interact with other people, how I go about my day-to-day life, how I educate my children. But a lot of this I recognize for myself needs to begin here. We're hearing these terms, racism, we've heard for years, or someone saying they're not a racist, and or you're hearing now the term, which I say now because these are things that are becoming defined for me now, anti-racism, structural, individual, systemic racism, Jim Crow laws, that's not new, but understanding what that means, defunding the police, what does that mean? And sure, I can go on social media and read, you know, thoughts and posts and memes and cartoons, you know, from other people. But, you know, good God, I hope everybody realizes that there's a lot on Facebook that is just opinion, a large part of which is just absolute ignorance. And so please, please, please do not use Facebook solely as your reference. Investigate, educate yourself. This is what I'm doing because I have to. And I have to recognize that this battle, that this fight, is not in the moment. This has to continue forward, and that I'm sure it will evolve. But there is a necessity for each of us, especially if you are white, to educate yourself. This is not the time to run around seeking education from your black friends or family members or whatever. I'm not saying ignore them, but for how many years do you expect them to explain it to us? We haven't listened. We haven't listened. Please don't tell me you have. You know, I was around during the Rodney King riots, and the Watts riots was, you know, about 8 years before I was born. And I recall, you know, hearing about the Watts riots, you know, when I was a little bit older. I remember being in the midst of the Rodney King riots. And my great fear, again, as I stated before, is that we'll see this, we'll hear this, we'll go, oh, that's so terrible. And then we do nothing. It is not a lie that this country was created for and run by white people. I don't pretend to know everything about, you know, Constitution and Bill of Rights and the amendments and laws and, you know, legislation. I don't. I just know this for a fact. It was created for white people. That's who was in mind for everything. And that we pretend as though that's changed is an issue, because it has not. Today I was speaking with someone who is not white. And a question that was posed to me is, why do people, especially white people, seem to insist on hanging on to government, clinging to it like it was, you know, their spouse? Why do they insist on clinging to the idea of the police and the necessity that they have to have the police and they have to call the police? And it's as if they're in this marriage and they don't want to divorce it. And I thought that was really actually an interesting question that I still have to ponder, because it brings me back to the idea that we don't think about what we do and what we say. And why are we so hooked on sticking to these things? Is it just because it's tradition and norm and we become robotic in our mindset that we just continue on without considering? If we pause for a moment and say, okay, yeah, this might suit me, this law, this legislation, this government, this quote unquote president, I might like what he's saying, but if we're saying that we're a country that is free for all, while we live in a community or in a state or in a country where black people do not have the same, truly do not have the same rights and freedoms that we do, I don't understand how then we hang on to those things if those are the very things that are preventing this. God, I hope that makes sense. My desire is to work to unlearn habits, thoughts, and traditions and norms. And very specifically right now and going forward with regards to Black lives. I have to find where my place is or is not. I have to find where I fail and accepting those failures and making change. I know a lot of people right now feel as though they've been targeted as, you know, you're white, so you're this and you're that. And it's hard to hear. But I ask of you, I encourage you to take a moment and find the truth in that, because there is. And, you know, yeah, it sucks. You know, if you're especially when you're talking about doing things that you've always done, or doing things that your family always did, or doing things that the church always said to do. It feels like you want to say, but it's not my fault. But here's the thing. When we perpetuate an untruth, when we perpetuate harm and wrong, when we perpetuate the oppression of another person, it is our fault. And we're not so ignorant to not be aware. It's because we don't think before we do things. I mean, that's a common problem. People react emotionally all the time. And so we don't consider. And my concern now is, where do we go from here? And I have to think or assume that, you know, in 92 and in 65, and, you know, those are just some main protests and riots and uprisings. There's been many, you know, in between now and then. But I'm sure every time people thought, this isn't the end of the fight, this has to continue on. But my personal observance is we faded away from it. Now, when I say we, I have to mean white people, because it's not something we have to battle every day. And so when I say faded away, I'd have to assume that means ignore, go back to what is the norm for ourselves, maybe assume that we don't have a part in all of this. And so these thoughts, these actions, that's part of my white privilege. And I'm coming to an awareness of that. Finding my place in all of this and finding out what is not my place in all of this. Because that does exist. I have no right. When I say what is not my place, I have no right, for example, to tell a Black woman how to feel, how to react, what emotions to have or not to have. I don't have a right to tell a Black person how to protest. I don't have a right to tell them what to do or not to do with regards to this. My responsibility right now is to find where my place is, where I need to actively make change in my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my mindset, in my spirit, and in my soul. I need to find out where I fail and how I can make change. I need to accept the fact that I fail. I need to accept the fact that there are many areas of my privilege that I do not even understand or am aware of. And here's something that's really, really important. It is also not the job of the Black community to come and tell me these things anymore. They have been telling us these things for over 400 years, and we have ignored it. Or we've overshadowed it with things like all lives matter, reverse racism. I've heard a lot of different examples of how to compare it. The idea of all lives matter versus Black lives matter. And if some, I thought one of the ones that I thought could be applicable or at least understandable, good God, I hope, to some people, is that if I came to you and said, my auntie is dying of breast cancer and I need your help. If you were then to reply to me and say, oh, well, you know, all these other people out here have all these other cancers. Their lives matter too. Duh. Of course their lives matter. But right now the urgency is with my auntie. Right in this moment, my auntie is dying and I'm telling you I need help to help her. As a white person, I do not have the same struggle, not even remotely. And I think people don't understand what privilege means either when we say white privilege. They think that that means then that as a white person, you have, you know, not struggled financially or emotionally. Yes, everybody struggles. Every skin color struggles. But see, my struggles, whether it has to do with my finances or getting a job or whatever, rarely, if ever, have to do with the color of my skin. I have opportunities that others do not. I have opportunities that Black people don't. I have abilities that Black people don't. I can walk into the store, and here's what's funny. The area I live in right now, I actually am a minority. But I can walk into the corner liquor store over here, which is owned by a man who is not white. And I know that I can walk in there, pick out what I want, whatever, walk around the store, and not be watched and wondered if I'm going to steal something because of the color of my skin. That's not really something that Black people have the privilege of. My partner is not white. And so, first of all, please, when I say these things, let's be very clear. I am not saying that I understand and I feel you and I know. But I've gotten a glimpse. Been with my partner for almost 26 years. And I've been what I refer to sometimes as the buffer. If we go into areas, especially areas that are predominantly white, I know for a fact, and it's become like second nature. I almost don't realize I'm doing it anymore. Unless I like really consider it. Where I will purposely make sure that I am very near him, whether it be holding his hand, or my arm in his arm, occasionally grabbing him to give him a hug or a kiss, talking to him, smiling with him, because of the fact that because of his appearance, you know, tall, brown, bald, tattooed, the whole thing, but specifically the brown, he's being watched, he's being observed. I have watched people pull their children away if they were getting near him. I've watched women's faces look as though, oh no, you know, that brown rapist coming to get me. I've seen small babies and with moms and their little carriers, and I go, oh, you know, she's beautiful. And the mom replies, I know, thank you so much. And if he says the exact same thing right after me, they cower and they turn and they quickly leave. I've been in the car when he's being incited by the police, not realizing what was going on because my mouth was a flapping. What the hell's going on? Why are you doing this? And he's telling me, shh, 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 shh. Because my lack of awareness could have potentially put him in jail or killed. I've seen them pound on his chest and then send him away with not even a citation. And I mean physically pound on his chest. I've been at home where he's taken forever to get home, and I get a call that he's been arrested. Technically detained. No ticket, no citation. I had to go down there to go show proof of who he was. Released him. I've waited at home while he's late for work, and I don't know what's going on. And he finally gets home and said, oh, again, for the third time this week, I was pulled over, put on the ground, cuffed, my car searched, my balls grabbed repeatedly, and then sent on my way. No ticket, no citation. And so as a partner to this person, as someone who loves him, I'm angered. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm scared. When he goes out to go places and I'm not there, I wonder, oh God, is he going to get pulled over? If he's late, can't tell you countless times I've called, you know, police departments, checked the inmate search, you know, called morgues, hospitals. I've done this. I've done all those things. But again, let me make it clear. That doesn't mean I understand completely. Let me make it clear that my privilege as a white person doesn't even remotely compare. I wasn't sure how to proceed with the podcast on honestly right now. There's just so many things that just don't feel right. And part of that is just figuring out what I am supposed to do right now. Because the thing is as the dust settles, because it eventually will, are we going to go back to how we've gone back over the course of history and just assume that it's no longer an issue or no longer our issue as white people? Because as a white person, I don't have to wake up every day and wonder if my life is on the line today. I don't have to wonder if I'm going to go to the grocery store and get pulled over by the police for, I don't know, nothing, if I'm going to get killed. But as the dust settles, and I can go back to, if I so choose, what I would refer to as quote unquote norm, Black people in my community and across the nation and across the world cannot. It doesn't go back to my norm. Their norm is repeated, and their norm is a history of oppression and abuse and rape and murder and a stealing of their freedom and their rights. All while white people will say, but the law says you have rights. You just don't XYZ. No, man. This nation was created, its laws and its rules and its regulations from the inception were created for white man. And we can pretend that that's not what it is now, but that's not accurate. That's not reality. If over the course of the past 2 weeks, your eyes have not been opened, your soul, your spirit, as we watch these videos and these accounts and these photos of the abuse, of the murder, of the assault on Black people. And this is just a blip over the recent past couple weeks. What about all the stuff we don't see? I was recently watching that documentary, I think it's on Netflix, about Jeffrey Epstein. And I remember when everything about him was coming out. Bear with me for a moment here. I'm going to get to a point. And the outrage that we had as a nation that, oh my gosh, how can this be? Look what he did, sex trafficking these kids, you know, and calls to action and recognition of sex trafficking. And we believed it all because it was true. But why are we choosing to not believe this right now with Black people? And it's been going on for over 400 years, right? In front of our fucking faces. We do nothing. We say nothing. We You know what's even funnier is with regards to that Epstein thing, as I was watching it, I thought, holy shit. The amount of just absolute corruption within the police departments and the FBI and the government and legislation, all during that time with Epstein. And it's been proven. It's mass corruption to cover up a wealthy white sex trafficker, rapist. And we think then that the police department or those within law enforcement wouldn't do the same thing to black people? Be corrupt? We're willing to believe it with Epstein, but we're not willing to believe it with regards to black lives? That doesn't even compute with me. So as a podcaster, my podcast will continue. And as a podcaster who desires to look into discussing and insisting on breaking norms and traditions, I can't overlook this norm and this tradition, this norm of treating someone like shit because of their skin color, treating someone like shit because of the tradition and norm that was set upon this nation when it was, created, is that the word? By a white man, by white men. My responsibility, not only as just a freaking human being, but also someone who has a platform with a voice, is to call a spade, dirty, corrupt. One of my biggest responsibilities is self-reflection. And that's what I choose to make sure I am doing every moment. And I'm cool with being called out when I'm not. Again, comfortable? No. Not really a big fan of doing things wrong. So during this time, as my podcast continues and I talk about different topics that apply to everyone, especially women, I am seeking to find where I fail and making change. I am seeking constantly to educate myself, and I am seeking to make sure that all that I do and that what I do with regards to raising my children and my grandchildren, that I am holding myself accountable, and I am making sure to educate them, to encourage them to check their mindset, and to make sure that their choices are made not based on traditions and norms and what somebody else has told them, but what is factual, what is realistic, and what is right. I do not have all the answers. I sometimes feel like I'm rambling, but my hope is that I'm doing what I am supposed to do in not only this moment, but in all future moments, to make it clear that every person on this planet is my brother and my sister, and that we are all deeply connected. And if they don't have the same exact rights and freedoms of mind, body, soul, spirit that I do, then I am not free either. Thank you so much for listening in to this week's episode of That's Not Proper. Be sure to stay tuned into and listen to next week's episode of That's Not Proper, where I will be speaking with Matt and Kelly Sprague, and we'll be talking about a really interesting type of therapy called rapid resolution therapy, RRT therapy. Please check out my website at thatsnotproper.com, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at That's Not Proper.